This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the county result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. And you can also get reward points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You're listening to the Scarf Pagara War, part of the TalkSport Fan Network, and charity partners with Mentel. For county fans, by county fans.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Courtyard Club Call with me, Russ Johnson. I'm joined by Dan. How you doing, mate?
Hello, mate. Yeah, not too bad.
Good, good. No Waggy today. He's off gallivanting somewhere on a Friday, so fair play to him. This is a special bonus episode because we don't normally record on a Friday, but we did play Salford City last night, Thursday night, on the television, which I'm sure if, for those that weren't at the game, they could probably have watched it either way. We'll go through it in any case. So we're going to talk about the 2-2 draw last night. Let's go through the lineup to start with. So we've got Hinchcliffe in net. I'll call it a back four, Cass, Horsfall, Pye, Bristow. Then in central midfield, we had sort of a Bailey, Camp, Sars threesome. Madden, Olafi and Wootton in the final third. I wouldn't say any surprises there for you, Dan, but was you expecting that kind of lineup, and were you expecting that kind of shape?
No, not really. I expect the back four, obviously the back five picks itself at the moment while Akil's still out injured. I didn't have Bailey starting. I obviously had Hippolyte still in. And obviously Powell, we probably should have expected that he was going to get injured sooner than later. But I obviously expected Powell to be in as well. I was surprised. My big surprise probably was Bailey, to be honest, getting the nod over Hippolyte.
Do you think the thinking behind the Bailey inclusion was because it was against Salford?
Yeah, because same again. I mean, Lemonade Heavens, you'd have given him the opportunity to play on that right hand side opposed to Bailey, because when he's been on that right hand side, he has performed well. So, yeah, I think the Bailey was more of a case of, you know, go and attack and, you know, show him, you know, why you've come here.
Yeah, which, we'll talk about it when we go into the halves. I didn't quite work out that way, did it? Something to point on for those that watched it as well, definitely on Sky anyway, they put the graphic up as a 5-3-2, which clearly that wasn't the case. But, you know, the BBC, as I said on sort of WhatsApp groups last night, the BBC often get someone who's an apprentice to do these things, and it definitely wasn't the shape that we were playing. They got it wildly wrong on there. I think we agreed, didn't we, last night? It was a 4-3-1-2, wasn't it, in effect?
Yeah, Madden was, like, saying between the lines at times, and even saying a little bit interchanging. I know it's Wootton had come deep a little bit, and Olafi was the point. And then sometimes Wootton would obviously be that point with Olafi starting from a deeper role and obviously, you know, making 1-2s and trying to get in front and break the line.
Yeah. Okay, let's get into the first half then. I'll just throw some stats out there for the first half. So, ball possession, we dominated 62%. Their expected goals were slightly higher than ours, which is interesting. Their expected goals was 0.21 in the first half, which says a lot considering It was 2-0 at half time. Total shots, I mean, not very much by way of shots for either teams, really. They're 4-2. Shots on target, they're 4-1. Big chances, they had 2. I'm pretty sure in that big chances metric, the first goal by Garbutt, was it, I think? Probably wouldn't be classed as a big chance, I'm pretty sure, because it was a speculative effort, which, you know, albeit it was a fantastic effort. And then we dominated in the other areas as well. So accurate passes, passing and accurate passes, we dominated in that area, and we have more corners in that first half. But if we're ever going to say a game that's a tale of two halves, then this one is going to be it, isn't it? Because the first half, we were pretty much woeful.
Yeah, this is going to be cliche bingo for the listeners out there, because this is one of them reviews of a game that every single cliche, football cliche that we can pull out. And like you say, a game of two halves. It was a weird one. Like I say, sat there, it was a fight. It was a tussle. It was, some people are saying it was like a non-league game. The referee, rightly or wrongly, let so much go. And like I say, people then sort of tried to push it as far as they could and see how, what they could get with, you know, from to the point where I was expecting WWE moves was coming out the next year. We had everything in that first half. And then same again, the game hasn't really settled into a rhythm. We haven't really sort of got hold of the ball or managed to really string sort of two or three passes together before, like you say, I mean, in all fairness, it's a wonder goal, isn't it? It's a goal of this month contender or goal of the season contender. And it was a fantastic shot. And when you watch it from behind the camera angle, Hinchcliffe has no chance of saving that, really. And if he did, there was so much swerve on it. It was unbelievable. But, you know, the other cliche is that, you know, I thought if we were going to concede, it was a good time to concede a goal. It was early in the game. It gave us plenty of opportunity to get back into it and find a rhythm. Because I didn't think that we were overhauled. You know, when they scored their goal, I didn't think we were second best much. I think we were our own worst enemy at times. But I didn't think we were, you know, outplayed at all, really, in that first half. Their game plan, again, was to spoil, to scrap, to make it a physical game and not a game about playing football. And we sort of fell into that trap a little bit, I felt.
Yeah, absolutely. they dragged us down to their level, to want of a better phrase and cliche, I guess.
Yeah.
For me, it sort of ebbed and flowed up until the first goal. And I totally agree with you. Nobody was really better than the others. You know, they were very much a long ball, long throw sort of strategy. I felt like when they got the goal, which was a fantastic goal, you're right, I think Ben Hinchcliffe had no chance with that, and it was swerve and not swaz. Let's get that particular detail right. It was swerve, not swaz.
Yeah.
That seemed to give them the confidence then to go, hang on a minute, we could have these. And it almost came out of nothing as well.
Yeah.
And I know Paddy had a good chance after that, hit it straight at the keeper. It kind of gave them the impetus then to go, charge at us a bit. And that's ultimately where the second goal came from. I thought Bristow in the first half was getting a lot of stick from Luamba in terms of, you know, that matchup, that one-to-one, and I felt like Bristow was losing that battle.
Yeah, he definitely was. Not just on the pace side of it, but just the physical element as well.
Yeah.
I thought, like I say, I thought he was actually quite good, the Salford lad, and really, you know, it's a shame he got that silly booking, because I thought when he got that booking, he died away a little bit in the game, but yeah, it was like you say, we just got, I think the Salford had a tatty. He set them up to play a certain way. And when they scored that first goal, and I think with the Salford players, they could see they had us rattled. And they obviously knew that game plan was working and that gave them the confidence then to carry on with that. And like you say, Paddy's had that chance to create on it. And I think that's actually our only shot on target in the first half, actually, that Paddy opportunity.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
So, you know, it's... And like I say, what was this? I mean, like I say, the first goal, you can't do nothing about with it. It's a wonder goal. It's a goal that, like I say, deserves to win a match, in all fairness. The second goal, another cliche, was absolutely the correct, perfect time to score a goal for Salford just before half time. I think it's about, you know, the 40th, 41st minute mark. Same again, if I'm Challoner, I'll be absolutely doing my nutting for that goal.
Yeah.
Because that was a Salford textbook goal. They've scored that goal so many times this season and last season. It's all about the second ball. We all know that Smith's going to win the first ball. It's all about that second ball and clearing the danger out. And we just crumbled. Considering, you know, he's managed to get a complete free run, unmarked header. If I was Challoner, we know Clint Hill and Challoner would have worked on that so much during the week and the build-up in this game, because, you know, all you have to do is watch Salford highlights and see how many times they've scored that exact same goal.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It's disappointing, isn't it? I mean, even from conceding the set piece in the first place, I would say, although that's... You know, they're unavoidable, aren't they? There's tussles all over the pitch, so okay, let that go. Horsfall had a torrid time with Smith. They were grappling each other all match and things like that. If there's one player that Horsfall probably doesn't like playing against in this division, and probably the next division above, it's going to be Smith, because he's just a battering ram. So he does get it back across the goal. And then for me, once you've gone to that third phase or third play, if you like, why is Paddy Madden find himself marking Tilt? Surely when you're defending set pieces, you match up, you go man for man. So I would have expected somebody with a bit more height to be marking Tilt and not Paddy Madden. As good as Paddy Madden is in the air and as strong as he is, and you know, he's obviously the most experienced in the squad. For me, get somebody else in who's got a bit more.
Wootton,
I don't know, but because they left the Laffey up front, didn't they? So get Wootton on Tilt, somebody, and like Pie on Vassell and all, you know, all these kind of things. I just felt like that was a mistake. But don't get me wrong, there's two elements of play that have happened that where we've lost to get to that point.
Well, as I say, when obviously just before that, we had the obviously injury to Bristow, from it, which I thought was, you know, it was a foul and it was a nasty foul, and I think the Salford players knew exactly what he was doing. I thought at that point it would have been good to bring Byrne on, push Pie out to left back, bring Byrne on and just get Byrne to do a man-marking job on Smith and just be in his pocket, go across to wherever he went on the pitch, you know, get him to do that, get then Horsfield to just clean up the second ball. And just try and man-mark him out of that. Luckily, you know, I don't make the decisions and Challoner does, and he brings Touré on.
And what were you thinking when he brought Touré on? Probably the same as everybody else was thinking.
No, it's one of them ones. He plays better from away from home. Away from home, I haven't really seen him play, have a bad game away from home. And it was just a weird one, because like I say, obviously, all the Salford fans, as they were doing with Bailey, was giving them stick, you know, the booing and jeering every time they touched the ball. And I just wanted the lad to just not make a mistake. You know, we want him to have good games. We've seen what he can actually do. And in all fairness, I think, especially the second half, was probably the best 45 minutes he's had in a county shirt.
Yeah. Yeah, he was brilliant. He was great, wasn't he? I mean, he got his goal, which he deserved, and we'll come to the second half in a second. But I thought it was great, and his FOT mob statistics suggest that as well. So that's the first half. Just one final thing on the first half, then. Sort of in terms of momentum, the stats show that That, you know, Salford had a really good start and a really good finish to the half. But in between that, it was pretty much County. So, you know, sort of going forward without actually creating anything.
Yeah, a lot of possession and a lot of possession in the middle of the pitch without really getting into that sort of final third. Obviously, Bailey looked promising to start with. And it just seems sort of like, especially in that first half, he started off really well, really attacking. But as Challen has mentioned, you know, as soon as their left full back, who scored the goal, got a book in, he's wanting then Bailey to really, really sort of pressure him and, you know, put that pressure on, and he's not done it. Which is a shame, because like I say, it seemed like, say, when Bailey had a great opportunity where he's cut in and he's hit it, and he's sort of like, it's gone high and wide and handsome. And at that point, he's just, the confidence just seemed to zap out of him, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. There was a couple of comments doing the rounds last night. Where's the Bailey that we had on loan as opposed to the one that we've signed permanently? And I tend to agree with that. I'm sure it'll come good for him. I'm sure it will. Yeah. He's a talented lad. So hopefully we'll see more of him in the second half. Well, between now and the end of the season.
And to be absolutely honest, the best football we've seen Bailey play was when Barry was in the team. There was that connection with the two of them, that you could tell that they've played football together from a young age, because it was, you know, telepathic, you know, the movement and passing and the tempo that they would play with. So, you know, let's hope that when Barry gets back into the team, hopefully by the end of the season, when we'll start to see that link-up play again between him and Bailey.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, into the second half then. Again, I'll throw some stats out. So possession, it was us again, 54-46. Expected goals, we just about touched 1.0 onto expected goals to their 0.06. We had 9 shots to their 2. We had 4 on target to their 0. We had 3 big chances. And again, accurate number of passes and the accuracy was better than Salford's. And we had 4 corners to their 0. Hence, at the top of the call, a tale of two halves. The match momentum was pretty much blue, apart from a bit of a foray towards the end. And this is where we saw, obviously, Ibu Toure come on, done well in that sort of second half element. Was it 2-1 at half-time? Have I got that wrong?
No, it was 2-0 at half-time.
It was 2-0, yeah, I thought so.
Obviously, one sub, Toure came on in the first half, and then at half-time, Challen has pulled the plug on
Bailey.
Cass and Bailey.
Yeah. Cass and Bailey sounds like a lawyer's firm, doesn't it? But yeah, Rico Richards has come on, Todd Kane's come on, and Ibu Toure obviously continues his half into that second half. I mean, personally, I was thinking, if we can just get an early goal. I didn't know where it was going to come from. Pudding of a pitch. I tweeted at halftime, we're going to have to play our game somehow on the ground against these, on the pudding of a pitch, 2-0 down, and I couldn't see us getting anything from the game. But then up steps Ibu Toure.
Yeah. Same here. Something that when Challenger first took the job over, one of the things that he sort of like was one of his mantras as such was intensity is our identity. And I feel at times, especially since Christmas, we've lost that intensity at times. The speed we pass the ball, the speed that we attack. That start of the second half was back to that, like against Bolton, that intensity of attacking, doing everything quickly, doing everything with an intent, doing everything with a purpose. And you could, you know, the stats, you know, tell you that. Same again, we needed that early goal just to put the pressure on Salford and really see what they were made of. We got it, Toure, you know, brilliant chance. Same again, everything that we've wanted him to do, we've been positive in his own ability and carry on moving the ball forward instead of getting the ball and passing it backwards or passing it sideways. moving, doing things forward. Insane, brilliant 1-2, but not just the 1-2, but just the fact that he kept on running and put himself in that position to receive the ball in a brilliant position. Same again, it sort of bobbled and run away from a little bit, and you're sort of like, thinking it's going to be a missed chance. His toe poked it. It sort of seemed to rattle between the goalkeeper's legs and trickle over the line. But we did that little bit of luck. We've sort of missed that little bit of luck in the last few games with some of the chances that we've created and keepers pulling off worldies and stuff like that. So the team deserved it, I thought, for the way they started the second half, and Toure, you know, definitely deserved it.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Away days with County are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at Edgeley Park. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's hope that kicks on for Toure, you know, kicks his season on and gets a bit more confidence back and starts being the player that we know he can be. That'd be something. And that kind of set the tone then, didn't it, for the rest of the second half, didn't it? Because, I mean, the stats show it, and you saw it with your own eyes. We were on top for most of that. I was hoping we'd go on and get an equaliser and get a winner, even at that point.
Scoring with so much left to play. When I say we've, under Dave Challenger, we've seen the turn, even in the National League, we've seen games where we're losing at half-time and they come out absolutely on fire and blow teams away. For us to score three or four goals in one half is not, you know, impossible. And the team know that. And like I say, we started just doing everything with a purpose, with urgency and desire. We're so impressed with the same again, what we've said it before about substitutions, having to bring an energy in onto the pitch and a desire. And they've done that. And, you know, same again, Richards. Rico Richards has come on. I thought that he was the emphasis of everything that was good to start off with in that second half.
Yeah, and we've not really seen much of him, have we? He's come on with a few minutes to go, or maybe 10 minutes to go. He's had a real crack at it. You know, he's been given a half to show what he can do, and he's took it really, hasn't he? He should be in contention to start on Monday against Crawley.
Yeah, I the only thing I would say, I mean, the same thing, it was a hard pitch, so, but I thought he drifted off the last sort of 5-10 minutes of the game. But like you say, for that, I think he rather starts and you'll get a good 60 minutes out of him, or is he one of them ones where you bring on and you have to give him a good 30 to 40 minutes of the second half to really sort of, you know, punish a tiring team? But I just thought he was brilliant. I mean, there was one bit where he did where he was in the middle of the pitch and he did a turn in the middle of the pitch and just left, I think, three Salford players for dead. And I thought to myself, he's a player there.
Yeah, definitely. And I did notice as well, to his benefit, he could have come in as you know, with the type of attitude of, well, you know, he's a clean player, he's light-footed, you know, he likes to dribble. But he got stuck in as well, didn't he? I noticed on the near side quite a few times he was dispossessing one of theirs, got the ball, not really favourite to win the next 50-50, done that, then got away. And he did that a couple of times where he sort of held his own in a match where it's probably easier, if we're being honest, just to shy away from it because it was really, really physical, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like you said, him... And I same again, the Laffey as well, you know, that first half, it was more, you could see the frustration on the County players. At the first, I actually thought at half-time, I was more worried about finishing the game with 10 players on because I thought there's a red card in this game. Not just because of the physical element and the fouls and the grappling that's gone, but I could, at that point, I could see someone losing their rag here and throwing an arm or an elbow in frustration and getting themselves sent off, because it just felt that that's what they were, the gameplay that Salford were playing, that really sort of horrible, nasty, fine line of a game. But, you know, I just felt that, you know, you could see that someone like Horsfall or Laffey was going to end up getting so frustrated, they're just going to throw an arm in frustration and that'll be it, off. So, yeah, it's for him, for a young lad to... And same again, we've got to remember, this is not, it's not like Lou Barry that's been on loan a few times. This is his first loan.
Yeah.
You know, senior men's football. Yes, he's had a few outings for Villa in cup games, but this is, you know, is he playing that sort of game in that physicality? And he's watched the first half and he looked like he was chomping at the bit to get on and get involved and get stuck in. And like Challenger said, you know, he's a very quiet lad. If he can just get that little bit of, not belief, but sort of swagger and a bit of confidence and a bit of in his own ability, then, you know, there's a player there. And to be honest, and if anybody picks, I think someone picks him up for on loan next season will really get the benefit out of him.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I mean, at this point, just based on that viewing last night, I mean, I hope it's us. Because I think you're right. I think he could be a player, which is really good to see. Now we've seen him, you know, for more than a few minutes. The other sub that came on was Todd Kane. Now, from my personal perspective, I thought he had a really steady, solid game, but yeah. FotBob only rated him 6.6, which I thought was quite surprising.
Yeah, I looked at that and the same again. I thought he had a solid game. I thought he was steady. Decision making, like Chandler said, was spot on. His delivery on corners, I thought, was actually probably some of the best corners we've seen all season. So, yeah, I mean, what he's different. He's a different player to Noyle and Macca. He's not a flying ball.
The other dozen right-backs we've got, Akil Wright.
Yeah, he's something different. He hasn't got that pace. He's not going to, you know, overlap with pace and offer that attacking threat as such, but by just making the right passes and right decision making and holding on to the ball at the right time, releasing it, giving yourself, making options, you can tell he's a player that's played at a higher level.
Yeah.
Just for game smarts, basically. And like Challenger said, that's really what we need at times. Will need between now and the end of the season. The big question is he fit enough to play 10 games for 90 minutes between now and the end of the season?
Yeah, true. Time will tell. But we did get the good news that Noel's been given the all clear as well, hasn't he? So
I think there's just going to be one game where there's like four players come back on the bench or in the starting 11 at the same time. Because, you know, like you say, the hope that Macca might be back by the end of the season. Obviously, Collar, Barry. I don't know if we've actually been given what's up with Powell or how long he's going to be out for. Obviously, Noel, same again, by the sounds of it, it's just getting a case of now him getting back up to his match fitness by being given the all clear. So, yeah, it's good news. And like you say, with games coming thick and fast now, hopefully by the Easter weekend, some of these players are available to, and Crowsdale as well is another one, that some of these players are, you know, ready for selection.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Special mention for Alafi. You alluded to it before. Got the, got a bit of a kicking in the first half, a bit unfairly treated, I thought, but stayed with it, stayed in the game, and in the second half, got his goal. Lovely through ball from Wotton. First time pass, I think it was, which was lovely, and obviously he's finished it well, and he's held off with good strength. The guy that scored the second goal, Tilt, he's held him off fairly well and got his goal.
And definitely, I mean, like I say, Laffey, first half, manhandled, pushed, you know, got no sympathy off the referee. And the referee, in all fairness, the referee didn't give anybody any sympathy.
No.
I just thought he was, you know, he was just going to let the game flow, and just, unless it was really crossing a line, he was just going to let the grappling and holding and pulling go as much as he could. Yeah, I mean, like I said, what for me, Alafi shows you actually how much physical strength he has, upper body strength. Because if you watch the highlights, or I mean, there's a few still photos of Alafi coming through, and you can see he's you know, the defender's got his arm and pulling him, dragging him down. But Alafi's, you know, he's kept in front, he's kept his body there. Same again, he could have gone down. He could have got in and would have got a penalty for me. Maybe not with this referee, but, you know, it was a sending off and a penalty if he went down in my car, because he was being pulled all over the place. But he didn't. He did what I like to see from a goal scorer. He basically, you know, score his goal, put the ball in the back of the net. And, you know, he's done that for us. And like you say, I still think we haven't seen the best of Alafi yet, to be honest. For, you know, he's still young. I think he's only 23. And I think there's, you know, he'll definitely get 20 goals this season. And I think going up a level and another year older, I would expect him to score more goals next season.
Yeah. I agree. You just said going up then, sort of nonchalantly. Let's hope we are going up. I don't want to tempt fate just too much yet. On to the final couple of pieces then, on to the man of the match. Now, Fotmob has it as Wootton, and for all of Wootton's hard work yesterday, and he didn't get much change out of Vassell and Tilt, I didn't think he was man of the match. I wouldn't have had him down as my man of the match. Who did you go for?
It's a bit of a hard one, really. I would have gone probably for Toure, in all fairness. As I thought, Toure was one of the difference makers in that second half for us. And everything, obviously, it's been going on with Toure in bad form. So if I had to give it to, obviously, one of our players, yeah, I would have given it to Toure. Got his goal as well, which, like you say, is as they've said, is raw, is a Toure goal is as rare as a Southam Hales goal. So, yeah, I would have given it Toure.
Yeah, no, that's a good shout. I mean, on Fotmob, he got the same rating as Wootton, 7.9, but it looks like they've just edged it. No, I mean, I agree. I'd probably give it Toure or possibly Madden, because I know Madden worked hard in that match, both boxes, you know, in both halves. So that's probably who I'd have given it to, just for transparency. Rico Richard got 7.1, Alafi 7.3, Sars 7.1, and everybody else was below 7, which I thought was quite weird, quite a strange rating system. I don't know how they work this out, but Horsefall at 5.7, I don't think Horsefall particularly was that bad. I mean, I know he was
getting a bit bullied, and don't get me wrong, where Horsefall likes to be the bully on the pitch, he was the one that was being bullied and had a scrap at, you know, with Smith. But I think at times he gives Smith just as good as he got, really.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't have had him as the worst performing player in the county side.
Same
last
with
night.
The Watt for Salford. He only got 6.6, and I thought he actually was probably one of their better players. That same again, everything good that they did do in that midfield seemed to go through Watt. So yeah, like I say, some of the scores were a little bit. And same with Garbutt. Apart from the goal that he scored, which was a wonder goal. And he came off, I think, at half-time or just before half-time. I don't think he really did anything.
No.
In the game, apart from score that goal, and he got a 7.8.
Yeah. Which, again, is a strange one. Which is why we do combine these scores with what we've seen with our own eyes as well. So hopefully that gives the listeners a fairly rounded view. Final thing, then. Referee.
He's one of them. He let things go. And it weren't just letting go stuff for us. He let go stuff go for Salford. It's one of them ones. You rather crack down on it early and you discipline and you're blowing your whistle every 2 minutes and stopping and starting the game, or you try and let it have some sort of flow. And I think that was the problem in the second half for us, to be honest. Once we got that equaliser, you started seeing the Salford. I mean, their goalkeeper went down with cramp by the looks of it, or a thigh strain, but then ended up still kicking every goal kick and ball out of his hands. But that just killed our momentum, I think. I think if they were worried to lose the game, and they just killed the momentum.
I think you've I mean, you're spot on. That's gamesmanship. Is it gamesmanship? It's not gamesmanship, is it?
Game management.
That's just playing the game. They knew we were on top. They knew we're probably going to go on and win it. So they just stifled it. It's the equivalent of somebody throwing a flare on the pitch.
Yeah.
When you just got back into the game, and you know, all credit to them for doing that. And maybe we should be a bit more street smart in that respect as well.
Yeah. So, as I say, with the ref, I don't know. Like I say, did he have a bad game? I don't think he did. He let a lot go on. He's same again. Another referee, and I wouldn't be surprised if there was a red card in that game. Or, like I say, penalties left, right, and centre. But yeah, it is what it is, I suppose.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Good stuff. So on to Crawley on Monday night. Nothing over the weekend. I was actually thinking when we were 2-0 down, getting a bit annoyed with everything, as us football fans do. I was thinking, this has got to be the first time in a long time where my weekend's been ruined on a Thursday night and not a Saturday afternoon. So you've got longer to go, haven't you, for your weekend to be ruined?
Yeah, I mean, but like I say, I still think 86 points is the target to get us up, which with 10 games left is 1.9 points per game. You know, so technically, win one, draw one. We've got 10 games left, four of them at home, six away. Like we said, I think we're a better team away from home. We seem to perform better. So, you know, that is in our own hands. We've still got to play the bottom three sides of the division as well. So technically, really, that should be in our own hands as well. Crawley, same again, are the form team. And we're saying this season, we seem to have a habit of coming across the form team of the division. I think it was Walsall when we played them. They were the form team. And I'm sure there's others as well. Out of like a little 5-6 game run that we seem to come up. I'm looking forward to Crawley, to be honest. I think they're a team that play football. Their pitch isn't too bad, I don't think. So I think actually we might just see the better Stockport County turn up at Crawley. Yeah. My biggest worry is actually MK Dons. Same again, we're back on TV. I hate being on TV. I never think we really do. You know, they never put Wrexham on TV when we beat them 5-0. It's always a scrappy game when we're on TV. That's the one that I'm more worried about. I'm more worried about our home games than away ones. I think away from home, I could see us actually going unbeaten away from home from now to the end of the season.
Yeah, you can hear the nervousness in my voice, I think. I mean, it's all to play for, isn't it? I'm just looking at the table. I mean, my overriding feeling is, and it's very, very selfish of me, I just want to be at least 4 points ahead of Wrexham by the time we get to that away match on the last day. And ultimately, we're up, which would be the ideal scenario for me. Right, cheers, Dan. Appreciate your time, as always. This is the Courtyard Club Call. We'll be back probably on Tuesday now with the next Courtyard Club Call. And then Wednesday with I've waited all week for that Wednesday show, so look out for that. Have a great weekend. Speak to everybody soon. Bye. Yeah.
It's the 90th minute, all your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants. 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.